Looking at Psalm 87 this morning. Psalm 87. I don't have the page number if you're using the Bibles in the back. Near the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms. And near the middle of the book of Psalms is Psalm 87. Seven short verses. A song that God's people, as they met for worship in ages past, used to sing together. And I believe this is a song that will help us as we live in this day, and live in the midst of the broken world that we all face. There's beautiful truth here, beautiful truth that maybe as we read it right away, you might not see it all, but as we, I think, just take a little time to explain, it really should be a comfort to us wherever each of us find ourselves in our lives. So Psalm 87. I'm going to read this for us. You can follow along. A psalm of the sons of Korah. A song. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rehob and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. This is the word of our God. Let's pray again as we prepare to come to this. Our God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for all the different ways you communicate to us in your word. And as we come this morning to this psalm, to this song, we ask that you'd help us to understand it. And not only understand, but to believe it. And to adjust our lives in light of your certain truth. We need your help, and we ask for you to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 87, as I said, first reading, you might think, okay, how is this actually going to encourage me? How is this going to impact my day-to-day life? Psalm 87 is about the perfect city, the glorious city of Zion. So what is described here in these verses is the city of all cities, the perfect city, the ultimate city, the perfect place to live. If we could live in Zion, it would be the perfect place. And here, as we see, the ruler welcomes all of us to be a part of this community, to be a part of this city. Now, you can think of any city. There are good things and bad things that come with any city, right? A good library is very important in a city, right? A nice downtown, a good area, restaurants, right? Beautiful parks. You can think of any city, and you can think mostly of that aspect of the city, and then you can also say, go to the other part of town and the other things that happen, the bad parts, the crime, maybe the racial tensions. In most any city we could think of this morning, it has both the good and the bad parts. But here we come to Zion, and Zion, this city is different. It is the perfect, ultimate city, the city of all cities. And here, the psalmists, these sons of Korah, are writing a song for God's people to sing about this perfect place to live, this perfect place to be a part of. We can be proud of like being from the suburbs of Detroit, or we can be proud from being from Manchester, right? Or we can be proud from Plymouth, or wherever we come from, right? We can be proud of these cities. But here, the psalmist here, these sons of Korah, are speaking of this perfect city that, yes, they are proud to be a part of, but they look at the beauties and the perfections of this city, and it overwhelms them, and it leads them to praise. And their point is, as anybody sees the beauties and perfections of Zion, it should lead you to praise. If you get it, it should lead you to praise and glory in the God who made the city. So first, I think we have to take a little time to understand Zion. What is this city called Zion? In the Old Testament, if you ever take the time to read through the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see this term Zion mentioned, and Zion often refers to the Old Testament city of Jerusalem. So the people, the Jewish people, God's people in the Old Testament looked to Jerusalem as their city, right? This is the place that God came and dwelled in. Their temple was there. God's glory came down and dwelled in the earthly city of Jerusalem. This was Zion for them. But as you trace the history of God's people after years of disobedience, God leads his people away from Jerusalem into exile. And the people sing songs, longing to go back to Zion, longing to go back to Jerusalem. And eventually God hears their prayers and he brings them back to Jerusalem for a time. The temple is restored, the city is repaired. But again, the same cycle continues. The people become indifferent to God, to God's ways, to God's law. Rebellion sets in, ritualism sets in. And God does something amazing. He sends his son to this city. Right? Jesus comes into the world and he goes to the city of Jerusalem. He comes to his own people and his own people don't recognize him. His own people don't accept him. The citizens of God's city, Zion, reject and crucify God's son. And it's at this point, if you know your Bible, at this point, at the crucifixion of Jesus, we see, in a sense, God rejecting Jerusalem. God turning from just the city of Jerusalem. And through this, through them crucifying Jesus, he expands his promises to Zion, to the whole world, to all the nations. So before, people, nations would come into Jerusalem and they could experience the beauties and the perfections of the city by coming from all the nations and into Jerusalem. Now, the beauties and perfections of the city are, in a sense, scattered to the whole world. And all the nations are welcomed to be a part of this community, this city of Zion. So you think of the teaching of Jesus during his day. He spoke of this change that would come. You think of, as he died, the temple curtain being torn in two. No longer just the location in the Middle East. No longer there. No, it's expanded to the whole world. Think of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. And we see this expansion to God's promises. So now, as we sing in Psalm 87 of the city of Zion, we don't think to this earthly city. We think of what Jesus Christ offers to every single person from all the nations. He offers them to be a part of his city. He welcomes them into his church that has gone global all over the world. And by being members of the church and followers of Jesus Christ, by simply looking to him, we get all that is said here of the beauty and perfections of Zion. We get what is offered here in this city. Through Jesus Christ, that is what we have. Now, there are throughout the Old Testament, there are signs of this, right? Abraham was not looking just for an earthly city. He was looking for the eternal city whose architect and builder was God. So Abraham even knew back then, he wasn't just thinking about a land, just this. No, it was this eternal city. And now through Christ, we are offered citizenship in this kingdom, in this city. And as we look at what the beauties of the city of Zion are, it should matter to us. So here's the four aspects that we see in the psalm of being a part of the city. Again, we're a part of the city by looking to Jesus. First, it's a place of perfect safety and security. Second, it's a place of perfect community. Third, it's a place with perfect leadership. And fourth, it's a place of perfect satisfaction. Jesus offers this to anyone. You can come and be in this city, have perfect security, perfect loving community, perfect leadership, and perfect satisfaction. So first, the place of perfect safety. You think about cities throughout history. This is a purpose of cities, right? To provide security for its inhabitants. Not so much today as much, I mean a little bit still, but back in the day, the purpose of the city was to provide security. Well, that's what we see here. Verse 1 first, on the holy mount stands the city he founded. The NIV, he has set his foundations of this city on the holy mountains. Or look at verse 5, the second part of verse 5. The Most High himself will establish her. So on the holy mount stands the city he founded. It's up in the mountains. That's where its foundations are. And the Most High himself will establish, will keep her. So if you think back in the day, cities were formed with distinct boundaries. You knew when you were in the city, and you knew when you were out of the city. If you came to the city of Jericho, and you saw the walls surrounding the city, you knew when you were out, and then when you came in the city. There were distinct. Now you come into Ann Arbor, you cross 23, it's like, okay, now I'm in. It's not as distinct. But back in this day, walls were built for the protection of God's people. Or for the protection of the people who lived in the city. And this city has its very foundation, has its foundation in the holy mountains, which means its foundation is in the presence of God, where God dwells. The omnipotent, holy God is the one who has set the foundations of the city. You can think maybe Minas Tirith, right? I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I like it, but right, I don't even know how to pronounce Minas Tirith, but it's a city up in the mountains, right? It's protected. No one can come against the city because its foundation is in the mountains. Well, this city has its foundations in the holy mountains, God's mountains. It can never be shaken. Second, verse 5b, the Most High himself will establish her. So its foundation is in the holy mountains, and its founder is the Most High God. He loves this city. We see it. He loves this city. So the one who is omnipotent, the one who has all power, the one who has this kind of strength says, I love this city. I will protect this city. I will not let it fall. Anyone in this city, anyone behind these walls cannot be touched. The foundation is in the holy mountains, and I will protect her. I, myself, God says, will establish her and keep her. It's a place of perfect security because of where it is in God's presence and who has its back, right? God himself. So we take this. This offer is for us to be a part, to live, in a sense, to live our lives here as citizens of this city. And so we go into our lives all facing different things, and we think of the insecurity we face. And the insecurity we struggle with, the things that cause us to have anxiety, the things that we worry about, and we are to see this city being offered to us. It's a place of perfect safety and security. A place where we need not worry about the future. We need not worry about safety. We need not worry about someone keeping us safe, right? It's a place of perfect security offered to us. As a few of us went to Ecuador a few months back, we went to this place, some of us, where you walked across this rope bridge that seemed very long, and I didn't like it at all, right? A rope bridge over a very big chasm, whatever you call it, canyon, right? So a rope bridge, and the boards just like, are Ecuadorians really careful about making sure each of those boards are secure, right? A little rotted in places, so we're walking across the bridge, and you feel the insecurity. I didn't want to let go of the metal sides, right? The metal wire going across. I felt, some of these other guys were just cool with it, but I was a little scared, and I felt insecure. I wasn't sure if this bridge would hold, and I didn't like going across it. We all know what insecurity feels like, and we can go to different aspects of our lives, questions about the future. How will this work out? We can think about, how will this person interact with me in the future? How will I handle this relationship? What will happen in my career? What will happen? Will I be able to find someone to marry? What will happen in this situation? How will my kids turn out? I feel so weak, and I feel so insecure, and we can be led into this anxiety and anxiousness and fear and worry. But Jesus comes to us and says, come and be a part of my community. I am God. I will walk with you, and I will lead you to this place of perfect security. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He comes to his followers, and he says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He loves the gates of Zion. He loves his people. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Will God take care of us? How will this work out? What's the future? What is going to happen? The Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Trust in me, the leader of the city says. Trust in me. The king Hezekiah facing a future that was unknown, and perilous, and scary, said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. The prophet Joel speaks of a time where God will be a refuge to his people. He foretells of a time when every nation will be destroyed, every other city will crumble, but the people of God who dwell in Zion will be secure. He says this, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. He is our security. If we struggle with insecurity, we each can look at our own hearts. If we struggle with insecurity, what can we do? We can take our eyes away from our situation, away from all these unknowns. Our weakness cannot address these, but we can lift our eyes to the King, who has promised to be our refuge, our rock, and our security. We need not be anxious and worry. If we just stay down here, we're going to be full of anxiety, full of fear. But we lift our eyes to the King who loves us and has promised to be our security. So Psalm 87, the point here is there is a place, there is a city, it's called Zion, where you can come into this place of perfect security. And whatever happens in your life, you can look to your King who you know is in control, who will take care of you. You can trust in him. So perfect security. Secondly, perfect community. Verses 3 through 5. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab, and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. So first, verse 4, Rahab or Rahab there is really a nickname for the country of Egypt. So it's Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Cush are the countries mentioned there. And by doing this, he's pointing to the fact, he's actually pointing to the north of Jerusalem, to the south of Jerusalem, to the east, and to the west. And he's saying God is going to bring people from all over the world. This is a global mission. He's going to bring this diverse community together. This is God's mission, bringing the nations together to worship him. He is the king over all the world, and his mission is to bring this diverse community together. So that's one aspect that he's pointing to the directions in the map, but he's also referencing all of Israel's greatest enemies. So there's a message of grace here. Right? There's a message of grace in the nations that are mentioned, because Rahab is Egypt, the nation that cruelly enslaved them for 400 years. And Babylon is the nation that took them into exile, plundered the temple, took away everything from them. Philistia, right? The Philistines. David's enemies. Goliath, right? Arrogant people. Constantly attacking them. Tyre was a rich city, which in Ezekiel told, rejoiced in the plundered gates of Jerusalem. Ethiopia were a bunch of hired out soldiers who constantly antagonized God. Ethiopia's Cush constantly antagonized God's people. So the psalmists are saying, there is this city, place of perfect security, but God in his mercy and his amazing ways is bringing people from all over the world to be a part of it. And he brings even the greatest enemies of God's people, he changes them and brings them to be a part of it. It's a message of the grace of God. That we don't think about this city and there are certain people in this world that have done everything right, that have been able to live in this pattern of obedience and righteousness and holiness, and then they get this little card that they're welcomed in the city. See, I've lived in such and such a way, so this is my ticket to get in the city. No, God is saying that even my enemies, even my greatest enemies, will be a part of this city. And this is a sign of the extent of God's grace, which is good news for us who don't have the ticket to get into the city. We can look back on our lives and we don't have the pattern of righteousness and the pattern of obedience to get in. No, the ticket, we could say, to get in the city. In some ways, it has nothing to do with our past. The ticket to get in the city is knowing the King and looking to the King. And through the work of the King gives us this ticket. Through His amazing grace, we're welcomed into the city to be a part of this beautiful community that comes from all the nations together to dwell in unity, because we're brought together by the Son, by Jesus Himself, to dwell together. There's no other enterprise like this. There's no other community like this. Right? Mankind can try to create something, but no, it's only through God that He can bring enemies together. He can bring the nations together to dwell in one place, to be unified in one cause under one King. So perfect safety, perfect community. Third, perfect leadership. The leader of this king or city delights and rejoices in each citizen, takes the time to lovingly rejoice in each individual member of his city. As each citizen enters the city, we see the leader, we see the king delighting and rejoicing in each one. You can think of the prophet Zephaniah's words, "The Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty one who will save. He's strong. He will keep you secure. And He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing." As each citizen comes in, the Lord, verse 6, records as He registers the peoples, "This one was born there." So Jesus, thinking about each member of His church, every person that has a personal relationship with that individual, He loves them. And the picture here is Him standing at the gates. He's the King. He doesn't need to be at the gates of the city, but He wants to be at the gates of the city because each individual person that comes in, He wants to write down their name because He loves them. And He's not just this distant king up on the throne, kind of doing His thing over there, make sure there's peace in the city. No, He wants to look eye to eye to every person who comes in and write down their name. The Lord records as He registers the peoples. This one, can you believe it? This one was born there. This one from Egypt. This one from Babylon. This, can you believe this city is forming? He's rejoicing with gladness over each individual person in the city. So yes, He will keep you secure. And He'll bring you to be a part of this beautiful community of love. But He rejoices over you. Right? This is Donald Trump over by the Statue of Liberty writing down each person. Like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here." I don't think that will happen, but that's the idea. Right? That's the picture. We can't be lost in this city. The King will always be aware of where we are. This King who gave Himself for us, who loved us so much, He's willing to die in our place, to become sin for us, stands there and welcomes each one. And so as we live our lives in this city, we can know that we have this King who walks beside us, who is with us, who is quieting over us with His love. Sadly, I do, probably we do, struggle with this view of God that He's far off and removed and distant, and I'm doing my thing and I'm trying to do my best and I fail often, but He's way over there. He's not really. No, He is with me. He is with me. He has promised to give me His Spirit to dwell in me so that I will never be alone. He has not left. He has not forsaken me. I walk through my life knowing that this King who delights to write down my name is with me. perfect acceptance, perfect love, a King who walks with us in whatever we face. So we must turn to Him again and again and ask for His help. Oh God, be my security. Oh God, help me in this way. Help me, God, to live understanding Your acceptance and love. So you see these, right? Security, community, perfect leader, a loving King. And lastly, in verse 7, perfect satisfaction. Singers and dancers alike all say, all my springs are in You. This news is so good that even Baptists dance, right? That's the point here. Singing and dancing this great feast. All my springs are in You. I found satisfaction in You. The Hebrew word for spring is often used in this way as a source of overflowing happiness, overflowing enjoyment in one's heart. All my springs are found in You. I've found the place. I've found the King. The prophet Isaiah says this, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to You, O Lord. For though You were angry with me, Your anger turned away, that You might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy You will draw water from the wells of salvation." The prophet Joel says, "In that day the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to water the valley." In Zion, in this city, every thirst is quenched. Every desire is satisfied. The people are overflowing. They can't just sit there. They have to dance. They have to sing of what they have found in this city, in this King. John Newton has a wonderful hymn based on Psalm 87. The last verse says this, referring to verse 7 here. "Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am," if I'm a part of this, "let the world do whatever they, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in Thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, but solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know." Solid joys, lasting treasure are found in this King, in this city. All my springs are in You. I'm going to sing and dance of what I have found in this King and this city. So that's Psalm 87. Perfect security, perfect community, perfect acceptance, perfect satisfaction. Let me just close by kind of giving a contrast, because in reality, as we come to God's Word, there are only two cities. You're either a part of this city of Zion, you're either in this city, or you're taking this other road to a very different place. Right? There are two roads, one leading to each city. And just as the city of Zion offers citizenship to all, right? The ticket is given by the King, so does this city. So we must, as we look at this and see the promises, consider, we must take time to consider on what road are, which road are we on and what city are we headed to. Zion is the place of perfect security and safety, with a foundation and the rock that will never crack or falter, a city that will never be destroyed, a city that will stand throughout eternity. We have perfect security. This other city is a place of complete instability and danger, with a foundation in the sand. The city is still standing, but not for long. It's on shaky ground. It will only remain for a short time. It will be destroyed. Zion is a place of perfect community and fellowship, where people are brought together in love, where the nations gather, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation come together in unity and worshiping this King. This other city is a place of selfishness and enmity. Men from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation live in it, but they can't get along. Every man lives for and only loves himself. No unity, only faction after faction. The races cannot get along with each other. Zion is a place where the King perfectly accepts and delights each and every citizen. The King rejoices in his citizens, calls them all by name, individually loves them. Every individual is loved by the King. The other city is a place where each citizen is perfectly hated by God under His judgment. Zion is a place of complete happiness and satisfaction, solid joys and lasting treasures none but Zion's children know. This other city does not have a spring. All that it has is some broken cisterns that can hold no water. And sadly, people are walking to this city, and we turn towards this city, and when we get there, we'll find that there is no water, and this eternal thirst will grab us that will never be quenched, because there is no spring in this city. So the King of Zion stands before us and says, come and be a part of my city. Come, I want you to come find rest. Come, I want you to find the security as you walk out your days. Come, I want you to be part of this perfect community. Come, I want to bask you with my love. Come to me, he says. So the question for each of us is, where are we headed? Where are we living? Have we found this King? Or are we going to continue to walk our own way, away from Jesus, away from Zion, living on our own and experiencing what I just described here? We need this city. We need this King. We close with the words of another classic hymn. O Christ, he is the fountain. He is the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, but more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. One day, all the things described in Zion will be perfect in that eternal city to which this King is taking us. In this we have faith, in this we hope. Let's pray.